It's Geek Furious podcast number three. Wait, it's three, right?
It's a four, actually, isn't it?
No, wait, Metallica. So it's four?
It's four, man.
Jesus. That's right, because I. All right. Geek Furious podcast number four. And this time, yet again, metal. I think our listeners are going to, or at least the people who go to GeekFurious.com, or the people who used to listen to the old podcast, are going to be really annoyed that we rarely talk about anything about metal.
Well, fuck them.
Fuck them! But this one, we actually meant to do this a while ago.
Mm-hmm. Blame me. You can blame me.
It is your fault.
It is my fault, because I've been dragging ass on this.
Who else would I fucking blame but you?
Exactly. I'm your little whipping boy.
Mm-hmm. You're my Lulu.
I am your table.
I am your table. So this podcast is top five metal albums per decade, starting in the 70s all the way to present day.
Yes, sir.
All right, so we're going to let you lead it off with the 70s. What is your... It's going from five to one.
Five to one. Number five is Rainbow Rising. Ronnie James Dio, Richie Blackmore, you know, come on. I mean, it's one of the blueprints. It's not like a true, like really, really heavy album, but it's definitely the beginnings of a lot of that stuff.
Right.
That influenced a lot of bands. One of our favorite bands, Metallica, Lars, practically followed Rainbow all around Europe in the late 70s, early 80s. Late 70s, actually. So
right. One
of those bands. Number four. Deep Purple, Machine Head, a no-brainer. Come on.
Right.
Number three, Priest, Sad Wings of Destiny. And then number two, because of what it is and what it did, Zeppelin 4. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was. I would have picked Zeppelin 2, but Zeppelin 2 was born. It was in 69. It wasn't in 70.
Right,
so
right.
Like, oh. And then obviously number one, Sabbath, Paranoid.
Mine, mm-hmm. Number five, Deep Purple, Machine Head. Number four, this one's going to be controversial. Well, I don't know if it's going to be controversial, but... Mm-hmm. Thin Lizzy, Jailbreak
Oh, I had that, and it moved down on my list.
Yeah, 76. That's some people would say, like, oh, Thin Lizzy, you know, Boys Are Back in Town or whatever. But even if you listen to that song, there's a lot of that guitar work going on.
The song, the unheralded song on that album is the last song on the album, which is Emerald.
Emerald falls out, great song.
I mean, awesome song.
And my number three, Black Sabbath, Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, 1973. Woo-hoo. I love, oh, come on, it's a great fucking album, man. You see right through his darkened eyes, you know you have to learn. The execution of your mind, you really have to learn. My number two is 1979, can you guess?
I'm gonna say Motorhead.
Overkill! And my number one, Black Sabbath, Paranoid.
Alrighty. Very good.
I don't even think that you could ever even argue against
that. You can't argue that. Nope.
That's such a great, and, you know, great fucking one. Alright, 1980s. Go ahead. 5-1.
Alright. This might be controversial to some, but I had a lot of problems with the 80s because there's a lot of albums. That's my...
I know.
And I have to say this. If I had my way, every album on here would be either a Metallica album or a Maiden album. But that, in all fairness, I can't do that. So right. I had to pick one of each. All right, Slayer, Rain and Blood. Now, this is not the best Priest album, but it was my album that really did it for me for Priest. Right. 1984's Defenders of the Faith.
All right.
Three, Sabbath, Heaven and Hell, 1980. I mean, I have a huge, huge weakness for Dio and Sabbath. I love Mob Rules and I love Heaven and Hell.
Interesting pick. Yeah, it'd probably make my top 20.
Right, but for me, it goes back to I have such a huge... huge hard on for that album. I mean, it's just like I can't.
I actually got into Sabbath with Dio.
Right. So, I can't believe I'm going to tell you this. I prefer Sabbath with Dio.
It's like saying fucking Van Halen is better with Sammy.
No, Van Halen's better with Gary Cherone.
Oh yeah. Okay. That's enough. All right. Go on.
Number two, Iron Maiden's The Number of the Beast.
I knew that was going to be your number two. I thought maybe it could be your number one.
No, but number one is, come on, dude. And I know what your number one is going to be, but my number one, and this was hard because I wanted every Metallica album. I wanted Ride the Lightning in here. I wanted Injustice for All, but hands down, Master of Puppets.
Yeah.
is the perfect album.
I know.
It's just, oh, God. And the one album that I struggled with, but you and I went back and forth on this because it really was, in my heart of hearts, one of the greatest albums of the 80s for me, was, but it's not, you can't really, we wanted to do metal, but Operation Mindcrime is right up there for me.
I can't disagree with you. I probably shouldn't have even brought it up that you shouldn't put it on there because Operation Mindcrime is a great album. To me, it's just not a metal album.
Right. I mean, to me, it was such an eye-opener as of an album, and it still to this day is probably top three albums.
Right, right. I mean, it's like I didn't put Tool on the list because I wanted to put Tool.
I thought you would.
It's really difficult for me to put Tool on there and say you can't put Operation Mindcrime on there.
Right.
To me, there's a similarity. I know Tool is more metal, but it's still very alternative.
Right, and you want to keep like the metal type of thing there, and I hear you, man.
It's cool. Okay, mine is going to be far more controversial. People are going to be talking about this for years to come.
Go.
Number five. You're not going to even believe I did this. I put Diamond Head, Lightning to the Nations.
I understand why you did that.
Yeah. Now, anybody who knows the history of thrash and new wave of British heavy metal and all that will understand why I put it on there. Mm-hmm. But I think there will be those who will be like, what? You know, one of the reasons why the 80s sound is the way it is, even with bands that weren't, you know, next to each other, there was no internet. They couldn't all hear what they were doing. Like from New York. I mean, New York thrash is different from West Coast thrash.
Right.
But it's still, there's still a similar kind of thing going on. And that's because of new wave of British heavy metal. You know, there were a lot of bands of new wave of British heavy metal that were great. But Diamond Head had this really good sound. It was really polished. And when you start listening to Metallica, you know, even the No Life to Leather demo, it's really polished for, you know, a garage band, so to speak.
Right.
And Diamond Head is the reason for that. You know, they really modeled themselves kind of after that sound. And yeah, there were other influences. But Diamond Head was a huge influence. And when they were going out, before they even started writing their own music, well, I mean, outside of Hit the Lights, they were playing Diamond Head songs. And people,
nobody knew that, right? Nobody
knew. Anyway, that's my number five. My number four is Ride the Lightning.
Because of Escape,
and no, but there's so much stuff on there. It's an incredible album, influenced so many bands. That's why I had to put it on there. Number three is Slayer, Rain and Blood, one of the greatest thrash albums ever.
Mm-hmm.
And could have been number two, but number two, this is one that's going to shock you.
Okay.
And Justice for All, isn't that my number two? Do you know what I know? Your money and your wealth. Do you want what I want? Desire not a thing. I hunger after independence, strength and freedom ring. Really? Yes, but it is my favorite of the Metallica albums. But if I was going to make a list of the 80s of the best albums, Justice is number two. Number one is Master of Puppets.
Duh, of course.
Because it is a perfect album. There is not a bad song on there.
Okay.
So that's what I had to do. Now here we go into the 90s. Now we already talked about Master Puppets, so I'm not even going to get into it. But I mean, some people are going to totally disagree with my list, but I'd like to hear yours. So go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to preface that by saying that what I had considered metal in the 90s, I didn't realize how much I was missing. So it's a little bit classical in that sense. But okay. Let's go down the list, and it's early 90s heavy. As opposed to sort of throughout, because there's a bit of a lull in there, considering that I went through a huge period of just continuing to listen to Metallica, regardless of what music they put out, and I was still listening to them. Didn't care if it was metal or whatever it was. I just loved the band.
Right.
But if I had to pick, I'd start number five, Slayer, Seasons in the Abyss.
We'll be right back.
before Priest Painkiller, true heavy metal album. Last great Priest album in my book. Number three, Pantera Vulgar Display of Power. Number two, a little obscure, but because of who I, with the bands that I love, this was a huge album. This came out in 98. Bruce Dickinson's A Chemical Wedding.
What?
Which was, yeah, dude. It was the best Maiden album in the 90s, and Dickinson wasn't even in the band. It was one of the great, it was a hard and heavy album, really dark. I know you don't listen to Maiden so much, and I know you appreciate the musicality of it, but for me, considering that Maiden was slumming it with Blaze Bailey from Wolfsbane in the 90s, and they put out some shit albums.
Right.
I mean, there was some good stuff, but it wasn't Dickinson good. Even the albums that they did with Dickinson in the 90s were not that great. It was just a really, really heavy album. He actually recruited Adrian Smith, who was one of the key guitar players from Maiden, who had left before he left, and he played on that album with him, and he was just a killer. And the producer on that album was Roy Z, who's gone on to produce like Halford, all of Halford's albums. He's done Dickinson albums, and the guy is kind of this underground cult hero type of thing. And number one, because it's who I am and the band that I love, it's Metallica's Black Album. Find your peace, find your say, find this blue roll on your way. Trust you gave, I'm trying to say. Not a metal album, but it's
no, it's definitely a metal album. There were metal riffs all over it. So,
and in closing about the 90s, since then I've gone on to appreciate a lot more bands. Like I've gotten much more into Sepultura, and I think Arise is a really great album.
Yeah,
or Chaos AD. I'm not Arise. I mean Chaos AD. I've started listening to like earlier Opeth stuff, and I'm not really into black metal and death metal, but I do see that stuff was really great. But for the most part, I got to go with what I feel, and what I feel is these are the albums that I really listen to.
Nothing wrong with that, man. And like you said, you know, in the 90s for me, this is the time I'm in a band. You know, I'm writing shit, and the stuff that influenced me wasn't even Metallica. Like Metallica got me into playing guitar and all that stuff, but the stuff that was really influencing me musically in the 90s was not Metallica as much. I mean, except for like Master Puppets and just For All, of course. But these are I had to kind of like go through like what albums were inspiring me the most at that time. And number five from 1998, Fear Factory, Obsolete. From 1990, Megadeth, Rust in Peace.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, fucking incredible album. I could still listen to that cover to cover. Another 1990 album, Slayer, Seasons in the Abyss. Of course, 1992's Pantera Vulgar Display of Power. And just a fantastic album, like you said. Mm-hmm. And then my number one, I wonder if you'll guess this one.
Okay, come on. Life of Agony.
Yep, River Runs Red. Man, that is to this day, there isn't a track on that album that doesn't kill me every time. Probably one of the most underrated album within the metal community. Oh, of course, is a highly overrated album for Life of Agony. Mm-hmm. I mean, they could release that album every year and it probably sell 10,000 copies, you know. I mean, it's a huge album. They made others that followed, they're good or very good, but River Runs Red is just incredible. It's the Master of Puppets, I think, of the 90s.
They blew their wad on the first album, right?
Yeah, I mean, they did, you know, and sometimes that's good, you know, but like Metallica showed you, I mean, they didn't blow their wad until, you know, the end of the 80s, really.
Right.
And so that's one of the reasons why Metallica is the biggest, you know, metal band in the last 30 years. Because they didn't blow their wad. So, you know, Machine Head is kind of following the right path. You know, they wrote some great albums in the 80s, but some of their best work, or at least recently, is in the
late, you know, 2000s.
The last few years.
Yeah.
So they're following a good path. All right, so let's get into... Now, this is the toughest, really the toughest.
Yep,
this is the last... Now, I said it says the 2000s, or that's what we're gonna do, but I'm allowing the inclusion of 2011, because 2011 has such great albums that have been released.
Right.
That we, and I'm not talking about Lulu.
oh come on, man! You just
I know. But go ahead. All right, this is gonna be interesting. I have no clue what you're gonna even say. So go ahead.
Number five is Three Doors Down. No.
What?
No. Number five is symptomatically, it's Anthrax, Worship Music.
Dude, I just dropped my keyboard on the floor when you said, I'm not even kidding. Hold on. I got to get, where is it? Oh my God. Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Number five, Anthrax, Worship Music, 2011.
Interesting.
Number four, 2006, The Sword, Age of Winters.
Interesting.
Number three, 2001, Blackwater Park by Opeth. Now, this is where it gets controversial, DR.
Uh-oh.
Number two, Death Magnetic by Metallica, 2008. Okay. Number one, 2006, Iron Maiden's A Matter of Life and Death.
Wow. Dude, now, that is a controversial top five right there, buddy.
All
right,
that is. I mean, I think I've told you before, I have two mistresses. I have Maiden and I have Metallica. For the most part, it's Metallica, but Maiden...
Wow, I can't believe you put... I mean, look, Maiden, whatever, you know, I don't listen. I appreciate it, right. But I don't listen. But Metallica, number two?
Number two, baby. This one was a hard one. They're close, don't get me wrong. They are very close. But the Maiden album, Matter of Life and Death, was the best album Maiden put out since the 80s. And it was a complete album. It was so strong... It was so strong that they played the entire album on tour from beginning to end. It was Maiden at the top of their game in the 2000s. And I'll be honest with you, Maiden has been great in the 2000s. I mean, they put out four albums to Metallica's two. Listen, I said, look, I could put three Maiden albums on here and a Metallica album. And possibly before, when I first wrote this list, I was thinking Anthrax's We've Come For You All. Because I love that Bush album. I thought it was a really good album. But Worship Music just destroys. It just kills.
Wow. Well, so, I mean, that's an interesting list, man. Very interesting list.
It was a hard one for me,
mine was really hard because I wasn't very inspired by the last 12 years or so of music.
I agree.
Okay, number five, Metallica, Death Magnetic. Put it on there. Initially, it wasn't even on there. But I had to start getting realsies and start thinking about, like, not just what would sound cool to say,
right,
but what I have actually been listening to pretty much, you know, on and off, mostly on, for the last 3 years. And that's okay. Death Magnetic, especially That Was Just Your Life, All Nightmare Long, Judas Kiss, Suicide and Redemption. So I've been listening to those songs a lot,
right?
And so for me, I can't even say that I can't say that my number three is a album I even listen to anymore. Okay, so I had to be real Z's and put Death Magnetic on there, and it's okay. Just hey, I'm a Metallica fan anyway, so. Mm-hmm. And I had an excuse to put it on there. Number four, The Sword, Gods of the Earth. Opeth, Blackwater Park. Again, Opeth is a band where people will go, but why didn't you pick this one or that one? Why Blackwater Park? You know, hey,
it's a combination. It's the best. It's the crystallization of all their best
stuff. Yeah, I think so. I think it's all the stuff that I like about Opeth. And there's not much anymore. It's a band that I've kind of grown out of love with. But that album is everything that I want to hear. Machine Head, The Blackening is number two.
My top 10.
Yeah, I mean, I love that album. And number one, maybe controversial, but Anthrax, Worship Music.
It's what gets you excited right now. It is an exciting and it's a great album.
Fucking love the album, man. And it's, you know, to finally have a big four group put out something that's so killer, you know. So everything I've wanted to hear. I love it, man. And I hope that Metallica can pick up the, you know, the gauntlet that's been dropped. I don't think they will. I don't think they will.
No, because according to Kirk Hammett, Lulu is the best thing they've put out.
Oh, it's the best thing we put out since the 80s.
Language of the man. That's all I have to say.
Fucking Kirk, man. He says everything is as good as the 80s, you know, every time. Load was probably as fast as the 80s. Reload was as badass as, I think he called it the, you know, the closest to Injustice for All they've done in 10 years, or I don't know. You know, he says shit like that all fucking time, man. You can never.
You wonder what he's smoking other than a cigar.
So that's it, man. That's it. So if you didn't like the list, comment on your own or whatever, you know, in the comment section of the podcast or whatever wherever this gets posted. Mm-hmm. Shit on us if you like. You know, tell us what idiots we are. The fact that you've never even heard of Life of Agony.
I just want to make one thing clear to the people who are going to comment, whoever does comment. Like, especially when we start talking about bands in the 70s and like some of the 80s, like we specifically had the discussion prior to making the list about stuff that we were going to omit. So I know right. People are going to be like, well, you don't have Kiss on here. You don't have like Blue Oyster Cult.
Not metal.
Or Guns N' Roses. That's not metal. It's hard rock. And we can, or AC/DC. The good argument is like.
Yeah, even AC/DC.
The huge influential bands, but that's could be another list, another podcast.
Hard rock, yeah. I mean, you know, we could have done hard rock, and then we could have included metal and all that stuff, but we didn't want to do that, man.
We wanted to talk about metal.
Tough shit if you don't like it, man. Fuck you! Make your own podcast.
Exactly.
All right, cool, man. Say goodbye to the people.
Later.